I don't think there'll be any objection to that. We're going to suspend this portion of the agenda and welcome public comment. Is there a sign-up sheet, or maybe we don't? Do you have the sign-up sheet? And I would like the sign-up.
I started a sign-up sheet, and I put myself first. So that's how things get done at Pacifica.
Well, we're going to do, let's see how many people want. We have a maximum of 30 minutes, but, and I think we'll ask, how many people do you think are going to speak? How many, may I see how many hands we have now so we know how much time to allow?
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, somewhere.
So let's say 2 minutes a person, and then if it's necessary to extend it, we can extend it. Is that okay? Great, go.
Okay.
And please, if you want to identify yourself, please.
My name is Stacey Davis. I'm a board member at KPFT, local station board. And there's a couple things I want to say. I want to say two things. First of all, unbelievable, Lonnie. Unbelievable that you would say that we should cut hotel costs and the cost of these conferences when this board, this station, found a hotel for $44 a month plus a food budget of $3,000. Now we're paying $82 a room with a food budget of $8,000, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that decision came from the CFO's office. Another comment that I'd like to make is, I'm just not used to hearing the CFO acting as the executive director. I mean, the CFO is supposed to be giving recommendations and telling, you know, where our finances are and how much money needs to be cut. You said yourself you're not a radio guy. You're not a radio guy. You're not supposed to be up here telling us that we need to cut FSRN. That's the executive director's job, not yours. And I think just one more thing, you know, and if you're telling us where to make cuts, has anybody looked into subletting the WBAI building? $22,000 a month we're paying for WBAI. I mean, this is like the elephant in the room that nobody's talking about. Have we looked at, can we sublet this building and get a brownstone in Harlem? And let the public come into WBAI and do programming? I mean, this is a real financial issue that doesn't have to do with programming that I think maybe your energy should be going into. I'm just appalled.
Thank you, Stacey. Steve, 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Steve Brown. I'm from WBAI. I'm on the board. A good thing happened at WBAI. We had an election, and the faction that controlled the station for 4 years was removed, and a new board was elected. However, the bad thing is that the delegates elected to come as directors of the national board came to the city of Houston, and they were refused to be seated by the national board. Although the board agreed that the new faction and the new LSB did have the right to elect new directors, and they did represent the will of the majority of that board, they said because of a technicality, which I won't go into, they couldn't seat them. However, they were all sorry about this because they agreed that these new directors did represent the will of the 15,000 people who voted in the WBAI election. Therefore, the one good way to resolve this problem is for the old directors from WBAI who are sitting here, who do not deserve their seats, as several board members who voted on the technicality said, we vote reluctantly to keep them, they should resign. Bob Lederer, the staff, has said they repudiated you. They do not want you as their representative. Nia Bediaka and Lisa Davis, the LSB said they do not want you as their directors on the board. You should resign. That is a democratic way. I hope you will do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Eric Johnson. Eric Johnson is not here. We'll come back. Huh?
He'll be back in a minute.
Oh, okay. Now, it looks like Amawali.
He had to leave. Can I read what he wanted to say?
You may. If it's within 2 minutes.
I'll try and read fast.
Thank you.
Well, who's next? I mean,
Amawali was next. No, he's not coming back. Would you please read?
I don't mind.
Because
Okay, interesting, interesting. Recently, while examining the Pacifica website, that of Democracy Now!, and the new website dedicated to the presidential election, I was able to locate little or no mention of an issue which is extremely relative to peace and justice in America as well as in the world. That is the discussion of race in general and as it relates to the historic 2008 presidential campaign. I've also heard little or no coverage on Pacifica National Radio programs, Counterspin, Democracy Now!, or via Pacifica National specials. It seems that Pacifica is taking a back seat to the overall U.S. establishment, is in denial and or ambivalent in being honest about and willing to discuss race relations in this country, ignoring the denigration of Reverend Jeremiah Wright and Trinity United Church of Christ. If Pacifica was part of what we label traditional media, this would come as no surprise. However, Pacifica has a part of its mission statement, a segment that says, in radio broadcasting operations to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all such groups and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonism. In spite of its mission statement, the premier progressive radio network, including its surrogated syndicated Democracy Now!, has been for the most part silent and failed to take the initiative in leading a discussion which could help in moving toward the most perfect union that Barack Obama spoke about in his historic speech on race. I challenge Pacifica to take the lead by being the vehicle for the conversation that Mr. Obama has alluded to and which is long overdue on Mowale National Black United Front here in Houston. He started getting some names of individuals who are like thinking. And I'll just say quickly, as an African-American, I don't wear my color on my sleeve necessarily. It just kind of precedes me when I walk into the room, just like my height does. But I think that it is time, and it's past time, for us to have the real conversation on race and the problems that race seems to permeate in this country.
Thank you. We can go back to Eric Johnson. And were you here when we agreed to 2 minutes, Eric?
Sure, that's fine.
Thank you. Okay, great.
All right,
thank
good
you.
Afternoon, all. Eric Johnson. I'm on the, I guess the doctor with him makes me nervous sometimes. I tried to.
She makes us very nervous.
All right, I am the committee chair for a new program review. And I just have a real basic question. One is, what is the discussion that's going on right now with KPFT going completely digital and the access that the impoverished communities will have to the radio station? In 2005, I worked with Hewlett-Packard and an organization called Fifth Ward Redevelopment Corporation and another organization called the Prince Complex. This was part of about a $2 million overall effort to bring technology and bridge the digital divide in these extremely impoverished communities, because there are a lot of communities that do not, even in 2008, have access to computers. They don't have the wiring necessary for computers. And it's kind of a shock when you get into some of these areas and you find out that they absolutely don't have access to technology. And so what Hewlett-Packard is doing is they're creating what are called TAPs, T-A-P, which stands for Technology Access Points for some of these communities. A lot of my friends, I'm their first introduction to KPFT, and so I'm wondering, again, to bring it all full circle, what is the concern for these impoverished communities when it comes towards the direction that the radio station is moving for these folks?
You know, it's the tradition, thank you for the question, of the board not to respond during public comment to those people who have commented. I don't know if you were here when Nicole Sawaya responded to AFIA.
Sure.
About the experiment that has occurred in San Francisco, but I would urge you to talk to Nicole over there right now.
Okay? And I can just rephrase that and say that I would hope then, I could change that to say, I would hope that as the board moves forward and as the organization moves forward, that some serious consideration is given for those communities.
Okay, and I hope that you talk to Nicole. I think that the next is Shannon. But maybe it's Chat, is that, did I get your name right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Shannon Young from Free Speech Radio News. And thanks. And I really just came just to, because we haven't had any contact with the board, with this new board, and wanted to answer any questions, but I heard some questions come up during the financial presentation, and wrote them down, wanted to address them. Three main questions I saw were costs of FSRN, and I think it's important to note that FSRN now, Pacifica gives us half of what they gave PNN in fiscal year 2000. But we're producing the same product, a 30-minute newscast. And that's, of course, not adjusted for inflation either. And let's see. Pacifica National News? Network News, right. That was what was in place as Pacifica's national newscast before 43 Stringers started a strike that created FSRN. And it was a huge issue was editorial control, which is another thing that I heard come up. But as far as the costs go, I'm on the finance committee of FSRN. I've been on its finance committee for 2.5 years. I have a copy of our budget in my laptop that I have with me. I only have to plug it into an outlet since the power is running low. But really, the overwhelming majority of our costs are all labor-related. We have to pay staff. We have to pay freelancers. Our overhead's really, really small. Those of us, we're scattered all over the world, and a lot of us work from home offices, and we pay our own internet costs. FSRN reimburses us for our phone costs. A lot of us call over Skype, so it's a lot cheaper. We really do run a tight financial operation. We can't lose another staffer without it causing major problems. And seeing that, you know, let's just lob off $138,000 would really be disastrous to our operation, because we wouldn't be able to meet our basic legal obligations of paying for labor costs. Okay, 1 minute. So
less.
Okay. Another thing that I heard come up was the issue of control. There were three demands in negotiations the last time that we had formal negotiations with Pacifica. And the first demand was editorial independence and autonomy, which I said was due to our past experience with PNN. Two were raises for reporters. We had been working on strike wages for years, and we just now, due to the raise that we got in our last negotiations with Pacifica, we're now able to pay what PNN paid 8 years ago to our reporters. And we just got a raise as staff, which was the first raise that we've ever had since it came into existence.
You're going to have to wrap up.
Okay. No health insurance, all that. Like I said, we can't really run it any cheaper than we are now. I'd like to invite anybody who has questions for me to come talk to me. If you want to, like, ask me group questions, if there's a way to find time for that, I'm available.
Thank you, Shannon. Thank
anything you want to know.
Okay. Kathy. Okay, Kathy Davis. Oh, there you are.
Here I am. Yes. I just wanted to address some of the financial things at WBAI. I'm Kathy Davis. I work at WBAI in New York. And there are some historical issues in terms of the finances that are kind of muddy to me. WBAI used to have stocks and bonds and investments, and I have no clear idea of what happened to that. Where they sold? Was the money applied to debts? Was the money used? I don't know. There were savings accounts that WBAI used to have, and I have no clear idea of what happened, if they still exist. And you know, so these are questions that we'd like to find out. To the best of my knowledge, you know, the stocks and the accounts are not local, being held at the local office, but are being held at the national office. So I don't really know if they even exist anymore. So that's just a question I wanted to find out. And I really like the idea of subleasing and trying to find a new space. But I think in that context, we have to understand that a brownstone is, you know, you're still talking millions of dollars. It's not really something that is as easy as people might think who don't live in one of these really expensive cities. It's just very difficult. Which brings me to my third question. At the last PNB meeting when we were in New York, there was a lot of controversy over the account that was established, the capital campaign, to allow us to be able to move. And I think there was some stigma attached to that account that I personally felt was unfair. And there were some allegations made about our business director that were unfair. But my question to the PNB is, if it's so important, as it was stated then, as it's stated now, that we have to move out of this expensive place, then why can't we be allowed to establish a capital campaign that would give us the resources to be able to move? You've got to have some will.
Thank you. I think it's Tucker Brady.
I'm Tucker Bradley. And this is really the first time I've had to officially thank you guys for giving me a job a couple of years ago as your election supervisor in Houston. And so thanks all of everyone for that, because I needed a good job then. I never have thanked Dwayne and the whole KPFD family for supporting me when I was assaulted by a candidate. And thank you to Mike Martin for defending me in court when the candidate sued me for calling the police. So I've been in the trenches a little bit. I've been studying the elections for a while, and I hate to use the E word, but I'm going to be very quick. Our election bylaws were written at a time of trauma. In my opinion, they're written to facilitate contention and to be impossible to administer, because they depend too much on the volunteer efforts of people who know nothing about what the record keeping is for. It's just designed to fail. Okay. Let's fast forward. An author, E.F. Stone, if you just write this down, and his book, The Trial of Socrates, my name and at my email address, tuckerbradley@gmail, and this guy, whose name is Josiah Ober, he is a professor of ancient history at Stanford, at Berkeley. And I've already talked to him. He's an expert at Athenian democracy. There are other election models we could use that wouldn't cost so much money, that are fair. And I just want to urge you guys to seriously give some thought into thinking of a new approach to seating our boards. And I would be delighted to share my thoughts about that anytime. Thank you so much, and
thank
keep
you.
Up the good work.
Thank you. Melinda, please, thank you. Would you say your name?
Eileen Doan. That's okay. Most people get completely thrown for a loop. Am I okay now? Okay. My name is Melinda Eileen Doan, and I am now serving my second term on this LSB at KPFT. I was fortunate enough to have been elected in the first election. I took a year off for hiatus, and I just did volunteer work. But I'm back on the board again. So now I've been working as a volunteer for KPFT for 5 years, and I'm very happy to be a part of it. As such, I've got concerns that I very much would like to have addressed. I was listening to the financial report. I happen to be a person who lives with money for a living. I've done investments, and I'm currently in payroll. So when I hear about this, with all due respect, Mr. Lonnie, I've talked to you several times, but I'm just curious. I mean, when you say, I don't know how many accounts, that bothers me a lot when that's the CFO who's saying, I don't know how many accounts there are out there. I could be wrong, but, I mean, that just bothers me. I want to know where all the ducks are lined up. I want to know where all the dots are, and I want to know where the T's are crossed. It also disturbs me that we have five different stations, each of whom has a different bank account, is my understanding. I'd like to see us take advantage of the power of all of our money together, maybe, you know, have different accounts, but if we could possibly work out a deal so that we could possibly get a group rate, I think we could possibly save a tremendous amount of money. I'm also very concerned with this concept of having the different bookkeeping methods. I mean, we're all in the same network. I realize that there's ambivalences from the past, but we're going to have to start working together because I'm afraid that perhaps maybe there are areas that we may be missing out on opportunities for growth. That's my concern. Like I said, I'll wrap this up. I am on the development committee, so I'm working very hard with our wonderful chair, Wendy Schrell, over there to try to raise money for KPFT, and she's doing an outstanding job, I might say. But I think we could do a lot better, and I want to make a lot of money for us.
Thank you. Serene, and then I know after Serene someone came in late, and then that will be the last comment. We're at 20 minutes now on public comment.
I'm actually willing to wait until the finance discussion is over because I know some people have to leave.
Okay, and someone else, did you want to talk now?
Yes.
Yes? Yeah, come on.
Jamie
Ross.
Jamie? Hi. My name is Jamie Ross. I'm from WBAI. First thing I'd like to do is to say thanks to all the people at KPFD for hosting us at your station last night. It was very nice. I had a nice time, even though I went to the station in a real lousy mood. I came out in a much better mood. So you must have done something right. The second point I'd like to respond to is last night's issue about seating the delegates, and was the notice of our delegates meeting, did we not notice some people? Father Lucas, one of our delegates, said in an affidavit that he had not received an email and he was very upset. Mitchell Cohen, the man who, the delegate who sent the notice for the meeting, said he got an email address from Father Lucas from his business card, and that's the email to which he sent the notice to Father Lucas too. So if Father Lucas did not receive the email, you know, I don't know what to say about that. Let's see. The third point, I'd like to say thank you very much to Nicole Sawaya for her fantastic presentation of this morning. One of the things that the bright spots that I've seen in the national type programming, such as the elections program, Election Unspun, and the Winter Soldier programming too, which is very good. They have a blog set up that you can access through the KPFA site. I think that's a great way to reach, you know, people who may not be so wedded to Pacifica Radio as we are, but the people that we need if we're going to survive and to whom we can provide something to. And let's see, one other point I'd like to make in regard to the finance presentation. In addition to Fosdell, you know, one other problem that I know is affecting things at WBAI and is probably affecting things at the other stations as well is a decline in station fundraising. Year after year, WBAI's drives do less well than the year before that. And these are in real terms, not even adjusted for inflation. If you added inflation, the decline would be even sharper.
Jamie, you're going to wrap it up.
Okay, how much?
You're done, so I'm just letting you wrap up.
Okay, one last sentence. As a result, at WBAI, we've been driven to this situation. We have to do more and more days of drive, and in between the drives, we have to do more and more days. And those days we do in between the drives have the effect of lowering the take for the next big drive. So far this year, by my count, in FY2008, we've done 58 days so far, and we haven't even gotten to our spring drive or our summer drive, which now tends to be 20 days for spring and 18 days for summer. So we're really hammering the listeners there.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your comment. I've reserved a few minutes, about four and a half at the end, for the completion of the 30 minutes of public comment.